This is Too Political, the podcast in which two old friends talk about politics, the news, and whatever else we think of. My name's Arthur.
And this is Jason.
And together we're
Too Political.
Hi again, and welcome to Too Political Podcast, episode 16. Welcome back.
Podcast number 16. Wow.
It is. Now, we just sort of glossed over something last time, which was that at the end I said something like, see in 10 days, and didn't explain what that's about. We've had numerous requests, and by numerous I mean...
Numerous.
And by numerous I mean
millions of fans.
I mean two. No, I don't know. It's several people actually have said that they wish that we
podcast
weekly.
I like the thousands of fans.
Anyway. Well, I'm sure they would if they thought about it. They would request that. But okay. Podcasting weekly is a fairly big commitment, as everyone knows. And so we're sort of splitting the difference. Rather than podcasting roughly every 2 weeks, which we were doing, and podcasting weekly, which some people would prefer, we're trying to podcast roughly every 10 days. And
we're compromising.
Yeah, we're compromising. In the best spirit of politics, we're compromising.
Right, yes.
However, this week that created a problem because the 10 days would have been towards the end of the week when, first of all, I have a live Amron's podcast at about the same time, and also Jason will be away doing the MS ride in Missouri. So that wasn't going to work. So we actually are recording.
We could do it remotely while I'm writing.
Yeah, well, there's a thought. Now, if you had a digital recorder, you could record on the way saying, right now. Anyway.
Hey, that's you riding the bike.
That's
not
true.
Me riding the
that's
bike.
That's true. Very true. Very true. I nearly kill myself when I'm just walking these days. But be that as it may. So we actually are recording about a week later after all that. But future episodes will be roughly 10 days apart. And I say roughly because it depends on our schedules and things. And the other bit of news is to remember that this is the final episode of Too Political that will be on the Amron's feed.
Final episode.
Anyone who wants to continue listening to the Too Political podcast who has not already subscribed to it will obviously need to subscribe directly in some way. In the show notes for this episode, there is a link to iTunes, which is obviously the easiest way. Or if you don't want to bother going to the website, you can just go to the iTunes store and enter Too Political, the number two, and political is one word, Too Political is one word, and go that way. Or if you don't want to use iTunes, you can subscribe directly through feeds2.feedburner.com/toopoliticalpodcast, which is one word. And of course, that will be in the show notes. And
thank God. Oh, sorry.
Actually, if you are listening, it will probably be embedded in the MP3 file. So that's probably one way to find it. But as I said, it will be in the show notes. And we invite you now to subscribe to it directly through toopolitical.com or iTunes or whatever service you use. And that's all the housekeeping today.
Oh, well, that's very good. That means it must be
time for special days.
Okay. September 13th. We've missed this, unfortunately. But hey, it's a special day. It's the California Prune Festival in Yuba City, California. And on September 16th is Mexican Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm sure probably in Spanish sounds different and probably a lot better, but somehow I only had the English version of it, so I'm going to be the ignorant gringo and just say Happy Mexican Independence Day.
That's probably good. And actually, I just realized today that September in New Zealand is called Blue September, and it's a public awareness campaign and fundraising campaign for prostate cancer. And... I particularly am glad to see that because men's health issues very often don't get any coverage or, awareness campaigns. It's usually either general health things or women's health or what have you. So I think that's a really good thing.
Well, speaking of which, since you have passed the big 5-0, have you had your scope yet?
No. They generally don't do that unless there's some indicator that says that they need to, I think. I don't know. I was supposed to go in and get a PSA test, which is not very reliable under the best of circumstances, but I never got around to it, and now the lab company that does all of the diagnostic testing in Auckland has changed, and the new company's having huge problems getting their act together, so I think I should wait a few weeks until things sort themselves out.
That sounds
out.
Like a good idea. My doctor's handed me a little card. Here, have fun. So, yeah. Anyway, what's next? Wasn't that a segue? That was a segue, and I didn't even realize it. We segued into our topic, healthcare. Yes. Oh my God, aren't we good?
Indeed. And actually, I'm beginning to think that this is becoming the never-ending story. This just, it doesn't.
You lie! Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
It just doesn't seem to go anywhere, but hopefully things will start moving. Now, first of all, the president's speech. And before we go too much into that, I have a little rant, as my Twitter friends will remember. I was actually going to be away.
Love that CNN International, don't you?
Yes. I set up CNN International to record because I was going to be away from the house. I didn't think that BBC World would carry it, and I didn't think that Sky News Australia would carry it, and I wasn't about to set up Fox to record it. So that only left CNN, and CNN has always carried such speeches before that I can remember. So I thought that was safe. It never entered my mind that that wasn't a good idea, but it wasn't. It turned out that they covered about 5 minutes into the speech, and then they cut back. They had a few talking heads give opinions, and they went to commercials. And then they came back and did some infotainment, just bullshit stories about nothing. And then they came back every once in a while, and they would cover a few more minutes of the speech, and then they would cut away to more commercials and do other things. It was just disgusting, and I've decided I will never again rely on CNN International for anything. So there.
That seems very bizarre that's the way that they would cover it.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand them not covering a press conference. I can understand them not covering a television address or something like that. But to not cover a speech to a joint session of Congress for an American news network, I just think is dumbfounding. I was absolutely dumbfounded about that. But anyway.
You lie! Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Yes, well, that was actually the thing that has been talked about the most from that speech. Do you think that it was all a setup from the beginning? Do you think he was looking for an opportunity to say something like that? Or do you think it was a genuine emotional outburst?
My goodness. Oh, thou cynical child.
Well, considering
I really don't know. The one thing, I thought the Republican behavior, I'm going to use an SAT word, was boorish. Or is it boorish? I don't remember.
Boorish.
I guess it was their plan, 16 pages of just fluff. Or their hand, handwritten signs. It's like, you don't have a laser jet in your office, guys? What did you, get the 64 carton of Crayola crayons and wrote your stuff like that? I really don't know. It's like, oh, in the heat. It's just like it was completely and totally unacceptable.
Absolutely. And
I think it is it is inexcusable. Imagine if something like that had happened to Bush.
Oh, yeah. They would have been shipped off to Guantanamo.
Apoplectic.
They would have been shipped off to Guantanamo if anybody had done that to Bush. The thing is that in my memory, which is now beginning to go back a fair ways, that's never happened. And the mainstream journalists have struggled to find any similar incident within a century. And the other day, I had the misfortune of seeing a YouTube clip from Geraldo at Large, or whatever it's called, on Fox Noise. And he had the usual Republican talking heads who were just blithering idiots. Mike Huckabee. I've forgotten who one of them was. Anyway, and Ann Coulter, everybody's favorite nincompoop. And she said that, and this is a typical Republican talking point, which is why I'm mentioning her specifically. She said that when Bush was in charge and the Republicans controlled Congress, the Democrats did the exact same thing. They booed like crazy. And I'm thinking, no, honey. Booing is not the same thing as heckling the president. The Democrats never did that. It's not the same.
No, it's not. And I don't really remember them booing either.
Oh, they may have. I doubt it, though. Maybe towards the end. But they certainly didn't do it during the time of the Iraq War. They certainly didn't do it after September 11th, 2001. And I don't recall that happening. The common line that the Republicans are using in this whole healthcare debate, but especially about their behavior toward this president and this Congress, they're saying, well, the Democrats did the same thing. They're only getting back what they did to Bush. And that's simply not true.
No.
One of the things they talk about are the signs that protesters are carrying, like what you saw over the weekend in Washington, with a face with Obama with a Hitler mustache on it. Oh, they did the same thing to Bush. Well, protesters may have. The Democratic Party did not. And that's the difference. This sort of stuff is coming
protesters.
From the highest levels of the
goodness.
Republican Party.
You know, there's a totally different thing. Totally different. And as far as I'm concerned, the far left protesters who were protesting against the war and these far right protesters who were God knows what the hell they were protesting against. It's just like, you know, all I can say is that in all likelihood, the far right protesters probably had a shower in the last 2 or 3 days. Otherwise, they could be exactly the same. They're sort of the same weird, nutty, kooky. I said that twice, didn't I?
Yeah.
Individuals, and you just like they're almost totally incoherent.
Yeah.
That's not entirely true. And it's just like, I really have to say, I don't think marches work anymore. I really and truly don't. We've discussed this in the past.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't really know what that proves. I really, you know, well, somebody has to stand up for us. And it's like, you know, go back to the South, because it was, I thought it quite interesting that most of them were, that at least were quoted, seemed to be from the South. And what I also thought was quite interesting is looking at the chamber when Obama spoke and they showed the Republicans about how old, how male, and how white they were.
Exactly. And that has been pointed out, that what it looked like to see a middle-aged white man surrounded by middle-aged white men, all of them in suits, heckling the first African-American president, that doesn't play very well with African-Americans, certainly, and a lot of other people. On that same Geraldo thing I saw, Mike Huckabee was being extremely dishonest in saying, oh, there are African-American Republicans. Yeah, both of them.
I think there are actually three.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, we commented about the Republican convention, about how we saw two African Americans in the entire coverage of the Republican convention, not counting Alan Keyes, who I don't think is welcome these days.
It's sort of the joke a friend and I always have about heavy metal bands. There's really only one heavy metal band; they just wear different costumes.
Well, a lot of these people who were at that protest in Washington and who are continuing to carry on are the same people who are called teabaggers. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And they are severely reality impaired, in my opinion. Here's two specific things about some of the people behind all this. One of them is in charge of one of the leading wingnut websites, where a lot of these people go to share their disease
wing
with
nuttiness.
Each other. Yeah. And he's in a wheelchair, which no doubt he got from Medicare. And, he's been benefited from government health care, and yet he is railing against it for other people. But that's even beside the point. On his website, he said, 2 million people rally, according to ABC News. Well, then he go to the actual story from ABC, and it said maybe 20 to 50,000.
Right.
So they can't even, I mean, they lie constantly on their site. That's a given. But they can't even tell the truth about something that they're linking to, which seems to be extremely, not even naive, dangerous in a way.
Well,
in the sense that they're going to get caught out.
The big thing that for a quick historical snapshot and background, is up to 10 or 15 years ago, the National Park Service used to release crowd estimates, because I think they would take like satellite pictures and, you know, okay, this amount of space, you know, and sort of did a roundabout estimate of people. After the Million Man March put on by Farrakhan, you know, they said, oh, there are a million of people, and the Park Service says, well, no, and I don't remember how many they said, but it wasn't that many. And the organizers of the march, or Farrakhan's people, sued the National Park Service for lying. And they just decided, okay, you know what? We're not putting out numbers anymore.
Yeah.
And that's sort of a quick little historical footnote to that. But yeah, it would seem to me that having seen or having been to Obama's inauguration, that's the level of the number of people you would have to have on the mall and beyond to reach those numbers. And they simply weren't there. And I think what is sort of sad about this whole thing is that, and we've talked about this before, that this has been hijacked by, you know, the organizations of sort of the far right. They're, you know, all of a sudden, Lyndon LaRouche and his followers, for lack of a are all running around. And I think there are some legitimate concerns that these people voice. And so you have these sort of nut people, and then you have them, the media sticking the microphones in sort of the nuttiest off the wall. Well, you know, I want my country back. This isn't Russia. And, you know, we're not going to be Russia. And, oh, it's socialism. And you kind of want to say, so you're advocating we're going to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. Oh, I guess not.
Yeah.
But there is some concern about what about the deficits? What are we going to be able to?
And that's exactly the problem, because I understand that there are people who have concerns about how it's all going to be paid for and so on. And that's a legitimate debate that reasonable people can have. But it's the only thing in that that's legitimate and reasonable. Now, I don't happen to share their concerns for a variety of reasons. And just briefly, the main thing is that I feel and I know that not doing anything about healthcare is going to cost the country a lot more than doing something.
Right.
I mean, they talk loosely about it costing $3 trillion to have a public option, which, you know, who knows, whatever. But it's at least 2 to 3 times that to do nothing. So, I mean, you know, in the long run, it'd be far cheaper to pay for something than to not pay for something. But still, like I said, that's a topic that reasonable people can have a reasonable discussion about, to work out those sorts of details. But to raise this bullshit about socialism and to talk about death panels and to talk about killing granny and to talk about throwing mentally handicapped people under the bus and all this, it's not just wrong. It's not just fantasy land. It's also dangerous, because it's riling up people to feel violent towards their government. And that can't end well. It just can't end well.
Well, yeah, I agree. And it's at least get angry over something that's completely and totally real.
Yeah.
A real issue. The illegal aliens are going to be covered, blah, 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 which is not in the bills.
It specifically forbids covering illegal aliens.
Although someone who is still sort of, I've heard this a couple of places, pointed out. And again, this is a viable question to ask, because I think they said that they did reform along this line in California, and they specifically had provisions in the bill that said illegal aliens. I don't know the exact specifics of what the bill said, but he talked about, well, when it got to the courts, they ruled that illegal aliens would have to have access. And again, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what access means in that, but I think that's sort of a question you can ask. Okay, then what do you do? But to say that, you know, they would have access to healthcare, the only thing that they would have be required is that they would be required to purchase policies, and they're not going to do that. They're here illegal, and that would sort of point out the fact that, oh, they're here illegally.
Yeah, and
so I don't see that happening.
The thing about that is, first of all, if it was about a California case, that would be under California law, and it's not relevant for what would be happening under federal law. So that's a bit of a straw man argument. But I think that people are getting worked up about this illegal alien thing for nothing. It is a distraction from the main thing. We need to get people covered, and covered well, not just let things go on as it is. We can't not cover the people who need it because we're afraid that illegal aliens might somehow be paid for. Quite frankly, I think the country would be far better off paying for every single illegal alien if it means that every single citizen and permanent resident is entitled to health care coverage. In the long run, it would be far cheaper to do that. And this whole business about illegal aliens is a distraction, and people should not get bogged down into that. They got to think about how this is going to affect average Americans. And I've got a current example. A friend of mine has been working in retail in the U.S., and as we all know, under the best of circumstances, retail workers are pretty terribly exploited and used by their employers. The big, huge retail chains try to cut costs as wherever they can, and one of the places they try to cut costs is how they treat their staff in terms of pay, the hours they get. They try to make sure they don't get any overtime, all those kinds of things. But some of them do provide health insurance. And as we all know, most workers these days, most average workers won't leave a job if they have health care because they're afraid of losing their health care. My friend was just laid off from his job, and his health care ended the same day. That is absolutely immoral. It is unjustifiable. It is inexcusable that the richest country on earth cannot cover the basic health care needs of all of its citizens. And that is what this issue is about. It's not about illegal aliens. It's not about death panels. It's not about taxes. It's about making sure that people have access to healthcare, which is a fundamental human right. It's not a privilege for the wealthy. It is a fundamental human right. And that's where the left is coming from. That's where liberals are coming from. And the right is coming from the perspective of healthcare is something that is for business to give out to people if they feel they're worthy of it. It's something to make profit off of. It's not something that people have a right to. It's a privilege that they earn. Well, bullshit. It's a right. It's a fundamental human right. And every other developed country in the world understands that. Why can't the U.S. get it right?
Because of the way the health insurance has always been done, and because that they have extremely powerful lobbying efforts and a lot of money. It is interesting to me that the worst case disaster scenario of people not being insured is the possibility of what's going to happen with swine flu. And that, you know, the place of last resort is going to be the emergency room at your local hospital. And one of the things that I cannot quite understand is why there isn't this huge push to get everybody vaccinated or get the regular flu shot so they're not flooding the emergency rooms with all the people who are going to be getting swine flu, so they think. And this shows, I think, the notion of there's always this stories that we get, you know, and the emergencies are overwhelmed because the people who get sick have no other place to go.
Absolutely.
And again, this is sort of the trade-off of, you know, I've seen these reports and they look like there are hundreds of people in the emergency room, and probably not all of them are sick with flu, but do you want to be combining groups of people who have regular flu and then people who have swine flu, and then you can give the people who have swine flu the regular flu, and then you can give the people who have the regular flu swine flu, and ooh, let's just get a big petri dish out, you know, and
yeah.
Cough into the air, you know, and that if it becomes this disaster that they think it's going to be, which I don't think it will. We actually got some good news on Thursday or Friday about it. Then that shows that if I have another avenue or venue to go, then that's how I should be going instead of overwhelming the emergency rooms. And of course, if people haven't heard, the good news is that it's now thought that people are only going to have one shot instead of two. So,
Of course, there is still some question about if there will be enough vaccine available, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, of course, the sort of ironic, funny, ha-ha-ha caveat is that it's going to be available like the middle of October or the end of October or the beginning of November, and they think that the cases of swine flu will peak in the middle of October. So it's kind of like, okay, more for the rest of us, I guess. But I mean, that shows, I think that shows what sort of the lack of people having health care, and if they're, you know, flooding the emergency rooms, what's happening to everybody else?
Yeah. And the emergency rooms ultimately are paid, the treatment in the emergency rooms is ultimately paid for by everyone else. If it's a charity or public hospital, it's paid for through taxes. And if it's a public facility and the person who goes there is uninsured, as they probably are, then all the insurance people all the people with insurance policies pay for it. So right. It's not something that is free. Somebody still pays for it. And it's one of those hidden costs that you can't point to and say, well, I personally spend $100 a year on uninsured people, although I would bet it's far more than that.
I think if you looked, I know that there've been studies that have sort of estimated what it is. And then, of course, the thing is that usually if you're going to the emergency room, you're really, really sick.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, going to the doctor. It's like I had a fall on my bike and a lovely road rash on my elbow, and I went to my doctor, you know, because I'm just saying, hey, is this okay? Is this healing correctly? Where if, you know, it hadn't been, he said, of course, it was fine, you know, it's going to take a while. If it hadn't been, you know, he would have said, oh, no, we're going to give you something. Well, if it was all gross and ooky and I didn't have insurance, where would I be going? I would be going to an emergency room.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, removing myself from, when you really think about it, it's not an emergency.
Yeah.
If I'm able to treat it at an earlier stage, and
yeah.
People don't seem to get this.
Well, I mean, this has been going on for years, maybe 20 years ago, or thereabouts. I was working, and I came down with the flu, and it got worse and worse as the day went on at work, and I was walking home, as I did in those days, and I had no doctor, I had no health insurance, but I needed treatment. It was getting bad. And I ended up going to the emergency room of the local hospital to get treated. And basically they just, I don't even remember if they gave me a shot or not, but they gave me or told me to take aspirin or something, drink plenty of fluids and blah, blah, blah. But the point is that if I had had a doctor and been able to afford to go to the doctor, I would have done so earlier. But I waited until I was really sick before I sought out treatment, and it was in an emergency room. And that kind of thing happens thousands of times every day across the United States because ordinary, hardworking Americans can't afford health insurance.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons why the signs at a lot of these protests really, to be brutally honest about it, really fuck me off, because they say things like, get a job. Well, most of these people who don't have health insurance are gainfully employed. Sometimes
right.
They're working many jobs, and they still can't afford health insurance. That's why we need the public option, so
right.
that these people who can't get insurance anywhere else still have somewhere to go.
And then you also need the other things that Obama talked about. It's about, you know, pre-existing conditions,
yeah.
and you know, you use it, you can't be dropped, because I have as I've said before, I have great personal, wonderful personal experience with that. About, yeah, well, you used it, got rid of lobe of your lung. We're not insuring you anymore. Good luck on that. And thankfully, you know, 5 years passed, and I was able to say, you know, no to all of those questions. And then this also sort of ridiculous part of the debate when people talk about, or I've seen comments, it's like, well, in my experience, you're never asked about previous conditions. And it's just like, well, that's good. That's your experience. But I've gone into jobs, or I've filled out forms where I've had to, you know, have you had any of these diseases in the past 5 years? It's, I think, rarer now, but they do ask those questions. And it was just ridiculous to think that, well, it's not within your experience. So obviously it's got to be that way for everybody. And that's, people shouldn't be
yeah,
able to do that.
But there is an asterisk to that. It may very well be that they're not asking directly if you've had those any particular conditions. But if you read the policy, it will say if you have had any, they may enumerate them or not, but if you've had some condition up to however many years, 2 years very often or more, prior to the commencement of the policy, they won't pay for it. And if they determine that some condition that you have is caused by a pre-existing condition, they won't pay for that either. That
right.
will be in the policy. So they may not ask those questions specifically, but they still don't cover pre-existing conditions regardless. It's one of the great myths of that whole thing, when people say, well, I've never been asked those questions. Well, no, but you're still not covered.
You're just healthy enough that it's never been an issue.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the president mentioned, was it two or three cases in his speech of people who were being treated for things that were covered. The insurance company found something else that they determined as a pre-existing condition and canceled the policy.
Yeah.
And that thing, that sort of thing happens every day all across the U.S. as well. And that, too, is why this is so important and why we mustn't let it be derailed by irrelevant things like coverage for illegal aliens or whether or not Granny is going to be sentenced to death by a death panel and all this other nonsense. Stick to the issues because the issues are what's important. You can do all the other bits and pieces that need to be done through other means, but the main thing is that healthcare is a vital necessity for the future of the country, and we've got to stop being distracted by these irrelevant things.
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree with that.
Well, shall we move on to comments?
I think we should move on to comments.
Well, I have a mea culpa. The last time we recorded, I forgot that Tom the Ramble Redhead left a comment over at Amron's podcast.com. So we'll start with that one. And this was on our special episode for about Teddy Kennedy. And he said, great tribute to a great ally of the GLBT community and our allies. And it is amazing how much he was involved with over the years. Also, I would never compare Kennedy to Luger in any way. Luger is nowhere close to Kennedy on GLBT issues. And I would agree with that, Tom. And I don't think he's, I never thought very much of Richard Luger, I have to say.
Now.
Well, I always thought he was an idiot. Although not as much of an idiot as Charles Grassley. God, what a useless piece of... Anyway. Yes, that was over at Amron's.com, Amron's podcast.com. Thank you for that, Tom. And over on Too Political, on our previous episode, episode 15, was Roger Green, who said... Guys, people are impatient with Obama because they remember the example of G.W. Bush's 6 years when Congress capitulated on their constitutional responsibility to be a co-equal branch of government. Suddenly, with a Dem president and Dem Congress, our federal legislature has found its cojones. And I think that's probably true. During the first 6 years of the Bush-Cheney regime, Republicans couldn't move fast enough on what Bush and Cheney wanted. And they couldn't have cared less about bipartisanship. They didn't even listen to the Democrats.
I believe the technical term is rolling over and playing dead.
Yeah. They absolutely abdicated their constitutional responsibilities during the first 6 years of the Bush-Cheney regime. And I think that that Roger's got a point there, that now that the Democrats control the White House and Congress, now all of a sudden the Democrats are balking at doing what the president wants. Although I suppose the counterargument to that is the Congress is back to doing what it should have been doing in the first place, which is being a co-equal branch of government.
I also think it's
unfortunate that, that they're not doing more to advance this agenda.
Well, I think with healthcare, I think what they – I would say they should have been involved a little bit earlier. I think they overreacted to what happened to the Clintons. You know, super secret, and then here's the plan. You know, and I think they went a little bit overboard. Although, several people said, well, you know, if he'd given the speech 3 months ago, healthcare would have passed. And I don't know if that's necessarily the truth. I think once everybody is now back in town, he is the big voice.
Yeah.
And right-wing pundits, well, it didn't change any minds. It didn't change any minds. There wasn't any, the two sides are still, the Washington Times headline was about two sides are still bickering. Well, you know, it's not the two sides, to be totally honest, the two sides are still bickering, but what's most important is what's happening in with the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, and if that's really right now sort of the important thing. So
And the Republicans have made clear that their agenda is to stop healthcare reform completely. They want nothing to get through Congress. They're not working in a bipartisan manner. They're not trying to come up with a compromise. They just want to shut it down completely. And right. And why not? There's a lot of money at stake here, and the corporate elites who back the Republican Party don't want healthcare reform, and they're going to do everything in their power to stop it. They've got endless resources to throw at it, as we've seen in the town hall fiascos and the teabagging and all that. So. As I said last time, my main objection is with the Blue Dog Democrats in Congress who are acting more Republican than they should. I understand that they're conservatives, and I understand that they're very often in marginal districts, and so they feel that they need to be more, to lean more towards the Republican side. But there comes a point when you have to do what's right, and that's what I think is missing here. They're playing too many games with the Republicans. They should just fish or cut bait. They should go with the Democratic majority, get this thing done, and move on. And they'll be fine in the 2010 elections, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
it's a very, very long time. As we've said in the past, this has an importance and resonates. But if we're in double-digit unemployment, healthcare ain't going to matter.
Yeah.
Diddly squat.
And
you know, it might be an issue. What would be interesting is healthcare would then matter if the economy can't be an issue.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And to close out Roger's comment, he says, Jason, I tend to agree with Arthur that the U.S. is far more racist than the post-racial, in quote marks, social pleasantries suggest. Post-racial, bah! And Roger and I have actually traded comments about that on our respective blogs. And I was saying last time, and I still stand by it, that I was absolutely unprepared for the depth and breadth of racism in the U.S., that we've seen directed at this president, very often not in an overt way, not an obvious way, but a lot of the vehemence of the right-wing pushback against Obama is, I think, quite clearly because he's black.
And oh, yeah, there's no question about it.
I don't see how anybody can disagree with that. I just don't see it, because they would never be pushing back this hard against a white president. They just wouldn't do it. Although, having said that, it's certainly true that they spent 8 years trying to get Bill Clinton, and these people have had, what, more than a decade now of like 15 years worth of stewing their hatred and their negativity and their vileness. So in that sense, you could argue that it's just a logical extension of where they started out in 1992.
Well, yeah, that's very true. But also remember, there is no moderate or liberal ring of the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah,
these,
it's gone.
These are the whole. This is it.
Yeah,
I would say that I don't think it is as bad as many people make it out. Yet on the same time, I don't think it is as good as some people make it out to be. And I also, once again, think that, you know, these are the people who are screaming the loudest, and these are the people who get covered.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, but I mean, there is nobody else.
I think it gives a distorted picture. You know, this is an outreach of lazy journalism.
Well, I do agree with you to a certain extent, and actually I've blogged about the flaws of journalism recently, but The thing is, where I would sort of, I guess, stick up for journalists, I can't believe I'm saying that, is that the vast majority of the activists on healthcare are from the loony end of the spectrum. And it's true that the people who are behind them are the corporate elites in the healthcare industries who are funding them, often through right-wing lobbying groups like FreedomWorks, which is Dick Armey's lobbying company. They're the ones who paid for and organized the teabagging things,
right.
And they're paying for these a lot of these healthcare things in the town hall meetings.
He was there yesterday,
of course,
talking about the failure of the bank bailouts. It's just like, where have you been, Dick?
Yeah, well, he's an idiot. He always has been, always will be. He's also a hate-filled man. That Dick Armey.
Just a real quick aside. It's fascinating to me that the biggest assholes are named Dick in that party.
They're living up to their names.
Have you noticed that?
They're living up to their names.
I wonder if Tom DeLay's middle name is Richard. I think we need to end there.
Well, we'll be back in about 10 days ish. We'll we'll see how we go. But in the meantime, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Jason's View from dc.blogspot.com.
And
where can everyone find you?
I am
in your all-encompassing website.
My all-encompassing website for everything I do online is at amerinz.com, amerinz.com. And there will be links in the show notes, of course.
As always.
But thanks again for listening. Remember to subscribe through twopolitical.com or your feed catcher of choice. And because this is the final episode posted to the Airman's feed. But we will be back in approximately 10 days. And until then, be safe. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye from Washington, D.C.
Oh, and Auckland, New Zealand.
Bye. Bye.